good singing this morning, and Brother Jason, should come read the scripture for us if you want.
All right, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. I have to confess that I was listening to that song this week, and by the time it got to verse number 3, I may or may not have had a hand in the air a couple of times. I don't know. Just a confession I need to make. Man, I tell you, when I listen to that song, and then you think about, isn't that the backstory where the guy wrote it, and he had just lost his two daughters, and it was just a amazing story about him writing that. And anyway, just man, I tell you, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I don't want to go, brother Jim. I don't want to go earlier than I need to, right? As we talked about earlier, but man, I'm looking forward to heaven, and just so thankful for wonderful life here on earth. Joshua chapter 7, we'll read verses 1 through 5. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So they went up thither, the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Let's pray. God, we so thank you, Lord, for a life in Christ, Lord. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord God, that they would accept Him into their heart today, Lord. And Lord, what comes with that, Lord, with the Holy Spirit that'll walk beside you day by day. And Lord, I know I don't know how I'd ever make it without it. And Lord, I so thank you, Lord, for Christ and all that you've done. And we get to celebrate and worship Him here today, Lord, and Lord, a risen Savior. And Lord, we just so thank you, Lord, for Lord, the life you've given us. And Lord, even in those times of trials and tribulations, as we think about the writer of the song of It Is Well With My Soul, going through the loss of children, Lord God, you gave him the grace and the mercy to say, It is well with my soul. And Lord, any trials and tribulations we have, Lord God, if we have the peace of Christ, we can say the same thing. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be real to us. Lord, each and every day, be real to us. And Lord, again, we just thank you for this place. I pray that you'd be with the message this morning. Again, thank you for all that are here. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
All right, good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And I appreciate the music. And thank you to the choir. And then our teen choir. Man, great job there. And then Brother Daniel, man, great job on the offertory. Last time I went on and on about a great job. David said tone it down, you know, next time they're through. So I won't go as long as I did last time. But anyway, great job. Great to have you all in visiting with us. And I appreciate the offertory this morning. And, man, excited about... be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, series on Proverbs, of course, Master Club, a lot going on. And we're here this morning in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7. I was thinking, as I was going through this, back, and you start thinking back, our guys just finished up their basketball season last week, and I was thinking about a long time ago, back when I was in high school. And I remember our team, our basketball team that I was on, not far from here, but I remember this. This is we had the cheerleaders that were there, and I remember this was my. They had different cheers that they do. My least favorite, in fact, the worst cheer I think ever invented. We'd have this cheer. I don't know if they did it where you were or not when you were in high school, or whatever. But it was a cheer that went like this. They said, "We are proud of you. Yes, we are proud of you." You know what that meant? We just lost. All right? That meant we just lost. So when they did the "We are proud of you," and I remember them doing that cheer, and my dad had taught we'd be walking the locker room after we just got pummeled, and they're standing there saying, "We are proud of you," smiles on their faces, and Dad told us not to hit girls. And boy, that was something in me, wanted to just take and sock one of those and say, "Man, just be quiet, all right? We just lost. We just got beat." And you think about in life, have you ever experienced, maybe in sports, maybe in another arena, whatever, and you've experienced defeat. Okay, I don't enjoy. In fact, I despise losing. I don't like to lose. We got and I enjoy the competition. We have Tuesday will be competition for fine arts, academics, all that, and so they'll get ribbons for that, and they'll get first place, second place, third place ribbons, and that's great. And you try to strive for all those things, but I don't enjoy losing. It's not a good feeling when you've been defeated. All right, when you've been defeated in something. And we get here in the book of Joshua, and we've gone through the first six chapters, and the book of Joshua is about the victorious Christian life. It's about those who are saved and those who are on their way to heaven. That's what the Israelites sort of represent here. And they cross the Jordan River now, and they've defeated Jericho. Man, that had to be so exciting for them. The walls come down, and we talked about last week. Boy, I'm sure they're on a spiritual high, but man, this is what God's doing. And then we have one chapter here. We get into chapter 7, and this morning's message, all right, the title of the message this morning, this is going to be something that, on a little dreary morning in February that's going to cheer you up. The title this morning is The Defeated Christian Life. That's going to cheer you up, right? The Defeated Christian Life. But that's what we have here in chapter 7. This is supposed to be about victorious Christian living, but Brother Jason has read verses that tell us the Israelites were defeated. They lost. They lost the battle. They turned and ran. This group of soldiers that had just conquered Jericho, and yet they are defeated. And so we get into chapter 7 and we have defeat. This doesn't sound like victorious Christian living. And it's not. It's a defeated Christian life. Let me tell you this morning, I'll give you a couple things that bring about that. So we'll talk about that for a few minutes this morning. Israel is defeated. The verses we just read to you. They go up against Ai and they're defeated. Let me give you a couple things that will bring defeat in your spiritual life. If you're saved this morning, you're on the way to heaven. There's nothing to take away your salvation. If you're not saved, you need salvation. You need to get saved. You can't enjoy the victorious Christian life if you're not a Christian. If you're not saved, you never trusted Christ. And so you're going to live a defeated life no matter what, because anything you do, the Bible tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags. The only thing that can count for anything is what we do for the Lord once we're saved. That righteousness we have through Jesus Christ. And so we can't do anything for Him when we're not one of His children. But if you're one of His children this morning, then you have the opportunity to live a victorious Christian life, have victory through Jesus Christ daily. But also, I'm just telling you here, because we're not perfect, there are going to be some defeats that you're going to face. Not everything's going to be right. And there's going to be some times, and this morning, there could be somebody in here that says, man, I feel like if you were to ask me this morning, I'm living the defeated Christian. I just swear I feel like. And I'm just sort of defeated. Let me tell you just a couple things this morning that will bring about defeat and what hurt the nation of Israel. And of course, first one's pretty easy to figure out. Look at verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Number 1, sin brings defeat. Telling you this morning, in your Christian life, sin will always bring defeat. What happened here in verse 1? There was a sin. The Bible says they committed a trespass. It says Israel committed a trespass. We know it's just one man in particular. But that sin was imputed into the whole nation of Israel. So Israel had committed a trespass. They had done something that they were not supposed to do. And by the way, the Bible says they committed it. It wasn't a sin of omission, although there are sins of omission as well. Well, this is something they actively did that they knew they weren't supposed to do. And we talked about it last week. There was direction from God that said, do not take of these things. They knew that, and yet they still did it. There once in a while, there'll be times where we do something out of ignorance, or we don't do something because we weren't sure. But I would say for me, I know, and probably for you, the vast majority, 99% of our sins are things we know we should do or know we shouldn't do, and we go ahead and do them anyway or don't do them. Most of the time it's not a surprise to us, no. A lot of times, I know for me, boy, I just said something to them, and you say, man, I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have done that. And many times the things that we know we're not supposed to do, and this says, Bible says, Israel committed it trespassed, the end of verse number 1, or in the middle of verse number 1, I'm saying, sorry, it says, Achan took of the accursed thing. Achan took what wasn't his. He took of that accursed thing, again, going directly against the commandment of God. And that sin brought defeat. I don't know what it is for you day by day. I don't know what it's going to be for you this week. It could be taking something that's not yours. It could be lying or deceit. It could be hatred. It could be gossip. It could be doubt. It could be fear. It could be, you could go through a whole list of things in the Word of God that are sin against God. But something's going to try to get you this week. There's going to be a sin that's going to tempt you. There's going to be temptation there. And just like Achan gave in to that temptation, if we're not careful, we'll give in to that temptation and live a defeated Christian life. Sin brings defeat. And not only that, look at the end of verse number 1. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You know, God hates sin. He hates sin. A lot of times in our lives, we try to rationalize sin. God hates it. You know, I wish we could get to the point, I wish I could get to the point where I hated sin like God does. God hates sin. I mean, He hates sin. And you know, if we really dwell on it and think about it, that sin is what put Jesus on the cross. And if we can envision it in our mind, we're not too far from Easter, just several weeks away, and if we envision in our mind that our sins are what caused those whips to go across the body of Jesus Christ and those nails to be driven into His hands and His feet and that spear to go into His side and that crown of thorns to be pressed down on His head. You know what caused that? Your sin and my sin did that. God hates sin. He hates it. And that sin not only will bring defeat, but you know what sin always does? James 1:15 says what? Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What does the verse tell us? Go to in Joshua chapter 7 there. What does it say in verse number 5? And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. 36 men died. You know why? Because sin brings death. Hey, sin brings death. And sin will bring defeat. So this morning, it's impossible for you to live a victorious Christian life when you're continuing in sin. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but when we're sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning, that's what brings defeat. And that's what happened to Israel. That sin brought defeat to them. Israel's defeated here because of the sin. And by the way, that is the primary thing. That is, as you go through this chapter, and we'll talk about something else here in a second, but it all starts with sin. The sin of Israel, the sin of Achan, is what caused this defeat. But I think also, there's another thing the Bible tells us. Look at verse number 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. You know, sin brings defeat. You know what else can bring defeat in our lives? Self-confidence brings defeat. Self-confidence will bring defeat. When you begin to have confidence in yourself, hey, they just came off a great victory. Now, let me ask you this. We talked about this last week. What did they do to make the walls fall down? They walked around, right? And ultimately, they obeyed God is what caused the walls. But did they do anything? Is there anything they did? Did they come up with some plan or some scheme to defeat Jericho? No, they didn't. It was God's plan. And yet their self-confidence grew, and that self-confidence brings peace. You know, Joshua, this is something that's not new. Joshua sent out spies, and he'd done that with Jericho. In fact, go back. This is interesting to me. Go back to Numbers chapter 13. We think of three different instances. Back in Numbers 13, when the spies were sent to the promised land under Moses, remember this story. And so we have three different instances of spies being sent out. The first group is Numbers chapter 13, and look what they come back and say. Go to verse 31 of Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, verse 31. This is back 40 years before, over 40 years before. Moses sent out these 12 spies, and these 10 spies come back. By the way, Joshua, well aware of this, he was there when this happened. He was one of the spies that came back and had a good report. But Verse 31 says, but the men that went up with him, went up with Caleb, said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people who saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we were in their sight as well. So you have this report they bring back, these spies that were sent out, and they said, basically, these people, those Canaanites, they're greater than we are. We cannot take them. So you have that one end of the spectrum, and then you have back here in Joshua chapter 7, you have the other end of the spectrum in verse number 3. They said, look, there's not very many out there. Let's not go up with everybody. So you got one group back in Numbers chapter 13 who doubted God, who said, man, there's no way. We can't defeat these people. And that's how some people live. But we have on the other end of the spectrum, this group here in Joshua chapter 7 who says, hey, man, we got this. Hey, it's no need for everybody. Notice what it says. Look at verse number 3. Make not all the people to labor thither. Hey, you know what? Give them some time off. We don't need everybody up there. Hey, let me just tell you, when our confidence in ourselves begins to grow, that ensures defeat is coming. Hey, let me talk to you parents for a second. Guess how many days you get off in rearing your children? None. Oh, man, I want some time off. Sorry. That doesn't mean that you don't get a break, and I encourage, right? Parents to get out to eat and have somebody watch the kids. That's fine. I'm not talking about that. Get away for a day or so. Let me tell you something. That responsibility of rearing your children, that never goes away. I just want some time off from that. I want to take some day off. And we see that in the world around us, and you see them sending kids here and there and everywhere, and mom and dad won't take responsibility for their children. They don't get time off. These people eventually say, hey, you know, let's not make everybody work. Let's give them, and just we'll use a few people. We don't know how many went against Jericho. The Bible doesn't tell us. I'd imagine it's thousands upon thousands upon thousands. I know this. It's a lot more than 2,000 or 3,000. I know that. And yet, these men come back and say, boy, we're pretty confident. There's not very many of them there. Let's just take and give some people some time off. Now, I'm going to tell you about, you know, in the Christian life, how many days you get off from living for God? None. Hey, I know we're in February, not that long until summer's coming. You know what on vacation you should be doing? You should be living for God. You should still go to church. You should still do right. You should still hang out in the right. It shouldn't be vacation. We can get away. Nobody knows where we are. We can go do this, this, and this. We wouldn't do it home. No, you should be living for God all the time. You don't take time off from living for God. You continue to live day after day after day for the Lord. They said, hey, let's give them a little bit of a break. It's not that big a deal. And so you have back in Numbers chapter 13 where they doubted God. And you have here in Joshua chapter 7, boy, they're confident in themselves. Well, what should it be? Look at Joshua chapter 2. And by the way, I won't turn there for time's sake. Numbers chapter 14. Joshua and Caleb told the people, hey, the Lord has given us the victory. If we'll just go up, look at Joshua chapter 2. What happened when he sent the two spies into Jericho? Verse 24 of Joshua chapter 2. They come back and they said unto Joshua, verse 24, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. Hey, you know the spies that did right? It was that group right there, those two right there. Hey, you know what? God is the one that gives the victory. Let me tell you this. If you live a victorious Christian life, if you see any victories in your spiritual life, it's because God did it for you. And we begin to think that we can do it and we have confidence in ourselves. Hey, I handled that temptation fine last time. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I know there's things I can get to on that phone, but I'm all right if I go a little bit. And you start thinking you can handle it. Let me tell you something. You can't. You need God. You need God to help you. I still have every time on my phone, on the screen of my phone is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You know why? To remind me every time I look at that phone, you better keep your thoughts pure. You better keep your mind right. Hey, we begin to think, I can take some time off. I'm confident in myself. I can handle this. We can't handle temptation. Bible says what? That God is the one that gets us through. Oh, he'll make a way to escape that we're able to bear it, but we can't do it on our own. And we begin to have confidence in ourselves. These men, these two spies that were sent to Jericho, they came back and said, hey, God is the one that's going to give us the victory. The Lord has delivered them into our hands. And so sin brings defeat. Self-confidence brings defeat. And then thirdly, what happens with defeat? Defeat brings discouragement. Look at Joshua chapter 7, verse number 5. Defeat always brings discouragement. And they lose. Look at the end of the verse. It says, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I don't know if you're like I am, that to trigger something. I say, man, I've heard that phrase before. And it wasn't too long ago. Go back to Joshua chapter 2. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Rahab is talking to the spies here in Joshua chapter 2, and she starts talking to them in verse 9 and tells them in verses 9 and 10, boy, how they've heard about the Israelites. And end of verse 9 says, the inhabitants of the land, they faint because of you. And look at verse number 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. And so Rahab said, hey, the people of Jericho, their hearts melted. Man, they were so, when they heard about the power of God, what happens here with defeat? Defeat brings discouragement. The Bible says that the Israelites, their hearts did melt. Why? Because they were defeated. They're defeated by sin, defeated by their self-confidence. And they went in thinking they were going to win the victory on their own, and yet defeat came. Defeat brings discouragement, not only discouragement for the people of Israel, but look at Joshua verse in chapter 7 and look at verse number 7. Let's go back to verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Hey, the hearts of the people melted. They're discouraged. Now look at Joshua. He's discouraged because of defeat. Verse 7, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Hey, go back. I know we're in Numbers. We'll go back to Numbers chapter 14. Go back to, I mean, it wasn't that long. I know it's been 40 years, but Joshua, this has to be vivid in his mind of the defeat and the discouragement when the people of Israel rejected God leading them into Canaan, had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we had died in the wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? What happened? These people of Israel, they questioned God, and they said, why'd you bring us here just to kill us? We'd be better off back in Egypt. Joshua, that's got to be in his mind at some point. And yet, back in Joshua chapter 7, what does Joshua do? He gets discouraged, and he begins to question God. He knows better. Hey, he's seen God do something, right? And they just crossed the Jordan River miraculously and defeated Jericho. And yet we have Joshua, a great man of God, saying, did you bring us in this land to destroy us? Would to God we had been content. Man, I wish we had just stayed on the other side of Jordan. You know, if Joshua can get that way, if Joshua could get discouraged, if Joshua, after all he'd seen and he knew better, he knew. But he begins to question God. You know, when we get defeated because of our sin, because of our self-confidence, we start to question God. Hey, God, what are you doing? Hey, what's going on, Lord? I thought you were there for us. I thought we could count on you. And you begin to get discouraged and question what God's doing. Joshua begins to do that. He has a couple questions for God in verse number 9. First, he says, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? And Lord, what do you want me to say? He's sort of worried about their reputation, worried about what others are going to be saying about them. He says, how do I respond to that? You know, sometimes we're not careful. We'll be too worried about what everybody else thinks. Joshua starts to dwell on that. Hey, how am I going to respond to those? And then he has another question. Verse number 9, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. So they're going to hear about our defeat and they're going to come after us. And then he asks another question, and what will you do? What will thou do unto that great name? He says, God, what am I supposed to say? And let me ask you something, God, what are you going to do about it? Starts to question God. As I mentioned, I don't know if there's many men in the Word of God that did great things for God. Joshua was one of those men. He did great things for God. If Joshua gets like this, and I know I have. I know I have. We get discouraged and begin to question God. And Joshua begins to question. He says, God, hey, what am I supposed to say and what are you going to do? You know, that's what happens. When we get defeated, we get discouraged. And so this morning you say, well, that's, I'll be honest with you, I feel like you've been following me around. Because, man, I've been defeated lately. And when I'm defeated, maybe it's sin, maybe it's self-confidence, whatever, maybe something I didn't mention, but when I'm defeated, I get discouraged. I begin to question God. I say, God, what are you doing? God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? What are you doing? You know, we could end the message right here and go out of here, and I don't know how encouraged you would be, but, you know, it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop here in this story and doesn't stop here in this chapter. And so here's what I want to get across to you this morning in closing. There's going to be the times, even as you try to live a victorious Christian life, there's going to be some defeats. There's going to be times where you feel defeated. That's just going to happen. Now, we shouldn't be excited about that. We shouldn't look forward to that. And we shouldn't say, hey, you know, as we get in, boy, I'm just in one of those times. Hey, I'm just going to be defeated for a little while. And maybe eventually I'll get out of it. No. That's not how we're supposed to respond, but understand it's coming. But here's the key. Here's the key this morning. Don't stay defeated. Don't stay defeated. How can we get out of that defeat? Well, I love what God says here. Look at verse number 10. And by the way, before we read verse number 10, let me go back. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 5. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 5 and look at verse number 14. Joshua chapter 5, verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, we talked about this just a couple weeks ago, the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Man, Joshua, when he sees you, let me tell you this morning, when we worship God, we better be on our face before God. And Joshua was on his face before God in worship to God and said, God, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. And God gives him instruction. But notice the difference in tone here back to Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 10. Guess where Joshua is? He's on his face, but he's not on his face in worship. He's on his face whining, right? Complaining. Discouraged, defeated. And God didn't say, hey, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground, and you bow down to your face before me. No, what does God tell him? He says, get up, right? He says, get you up. Hey, you know what you need to do? If you're discouraged and you're defeated this morning, it's time to quit staying on the ground and whining. Get up and do something for God. What does Proverbs tell us? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 15. It says, the just man, that's the just man, the righteous man, the one who's doing right, the one who's saved, the one who can live a victorious Christian life. What happens to him? He falls. How many times? 7 times. But then what does he do? And riseth up again. That's how you can tell the just man from the one who's not. The just man is the one that keeps getting back up. And so this morning, say, man, I'm living a defeated Christian life. God says, get up. He says, I want you to get up this morning. He tells Joshua, get up. In verse number 10, he says, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? What are you doing on your face? You're not worshiping, you're whining. Get up. And this morning, it's time for us to get up and do something for God. And he gives us some instruction in verse number 11. He says, Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen. and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their back before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. He says, I want you to get up, and he says, I want you to get rid of the sin. Hey, you know how to not live a defeated Christian life? Get rid of the sin that's causing that defeat. Hey, get up and get that sin out of there. He says that sin is what's causing your problem. And notice what he says. He says that those things that were stolen, by the way, just a reminder here, were those things stolen from the people of Jericho? No. Who were they stolen from? They were God's. That was God's. God said, that's mine. He said, those things of the people of Jericho, those you collect and you give to me. Hey, don't steal from God. These things were stolen from God. Don't take God's money and use it for yourself. Don't take God's time and use it for yourself. No, you take what's God's and give it to Him. But He said, I want you to get up and I want you to get rid of the sin. Verse number 13, He says, set apart, sanctify the people. Verse 13, up, sanctify the people. And say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, that canst not stand before thine enemies, until you take away the cursed thing from among you. He says, I want you to sanctify the people. And he says, I want you, verses 14 and 15, I want you to separate the guilty. He says, in the morning, verse 14, you shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be the tribes which the Lord take, and shall come according to the families thereof. And the families which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. It shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. It's time to separate that sin. Separate the guilty. Get that sin out. Dispose of it. The Bible says they burnt that sin. They burnt those that had sin. Man, burn it. Get rid of it. Take it and just never, ever see it again. Man, I'm discouraged this morning. I'm a little defeated. Hey, get up and get rid of that sin and begin trusting in God again. You know why? We're not going to the next chapter till next week, but guess what's waiting in the next chapter? Another battle. You know what you're going to have to face this week? Probably another battle. And you're not going to win it being discouraged and defeated. The only way you're going to win that battle is, again, not confidence in yourself through Jesus Christ. You got a battle to face this week. Hey, let me tell you something. You got people that need you. You got family, you got a husband, wife, you have children, parents, whatever. You have people that need you this week, and they don't need you to live a defeated life. They need you to get up and do something for God. Hey, get the sin out. Hey, put the self-confidence away and say, God, I'm going to trust you this week. Father, thank you for the encouragement from the Word of God. We know there will be discouraging times, but we thank you that it doesn't end there. Lord, I thank you that you give us the testimony that the just man riseth up again. And Lord, you tell us the just shall live by faith. We can't be just in and of ourselves. We can't be righteous in and of ourselves. Lord, it has to come through you. I pray this morning there's somebody here that's never trusted you as Savior. Lord, there's no way they can live a victorious Christian life if they're not saved. I pray this morning, Lord, you'd convict their heart, help them to see their need for you and trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray for those who are saved this morning. I don't know everybody's situation. There might be somebody here this morning that's had a tough time here recently. And Lord, it could be that the things they're dealing with, Lord, we think of this with the children of Israel. Lord, in this passage that you give us, not everybody in the nation of Israel took something that wasn't theirs. In fact, there's only one person. And yet it affected everybody. There could be some here this morning, Lord, they haven't done anything necessarily wrong in their minds, but there's been some battles that they've lost. Lord, help them see that many times it does come from sin, that can come from self-confidence and to turn away from anything that would keep them from following you and not allow those defeats to continue and continue and continue, but to rise up again. To get up this morning and decide, I'm going to get back right with God. I'm going to serve Him and do what he wants me to. Lord, I pray for that for each person that's here this morning. Help us to go out living a victorious Christian life. Doesn't mean undefeated. It does mean we can have victory this week. Lord, bless each one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around this morning. This morning's message wasn't necessarily a salvation message. But we did mention that. And as I mentioned at the end there, the just will live by faith. That faith in Christ. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. It doesn't mean that I'm living all that I should and doing all I should for God. But I can tell you this, nobody can take away my salvation. I know I'm on my way to heaven through Jesus Christ. If you can say it this morning, just slip your hand up like I'm doing and you put it right back down. Say, I know I'm saved this morning. Amen. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, listen, I'm just not sure about my salvation. It could be one of the reasons that I'm discouraged and defeated sometimes is because, I don't have that hope. That hope that you sang about this morning, Beulah Land, that someday I'll be in heaven with the Lord forever, and I'm just not sure about that. But I promise you, I will not embarrass you this morning. I won't call you out at all, but I do want you to be honest before God and say, and if you'd say this, pray for me. I'm not sure about my salvation. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure this morning if I'm on my way to heaven. Just not sure. Now listen, that leaves a lot of people that should be living a victorious Christian life, are you this morning? Or have you allowed sin and self-confidence and maybe something else to get in there and discourage you and defeat you? Hey, this morning, it's time to get up. It's time to get up and get it right with the Lord and say, God, I'm ready to do something for you. As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come forward this morning. Listen, I know you wonder this morning, does God still have something he wants me to do? Let me ask you something first. Are you saved this morning? All right, good. If you're saved, are you breathing? Is your heart beating or maybe your pacemaker still going or whatever? If you're alive and breathing, God's got something he wants you to do. All right, he's not done with you yet. If he's still got you here, then he's got something for you still to accomplish. So he's got things he needs you to do, wants you to do. So make sure we're doing what he's called us to do today, this week for him. Be back tonight. Again, we'll have the children singing, excited about that. 6 o'clock, no junior choir, but do have choir practice, that's right. So choir practice still Wednesday night, 6:30, Master's Club, 7 o'clock for the service. Be here for those as much as possible this week. Father, again, bless us. Give us a great week to go out from here. Be with those, Lord. I know we have some things coming up this week, surgeries and recoveries and other things, treatments people need. prayer for. So I pray that you help us be diligent in that. And Lord, there's people out there that need us to get up and do something for you. So I pray we do that this week in Jesus' name. Amen.